From awaytogarden.com and robinhoodradio.com, this is Away to Garden with Margaret Roach, your weekly invitation to dig in and grow.
You know how the vegetable garden goes. One day there are just 2 green beans ready to pick, and then there are 62 all at once. Famine and then feast. Some of that can be moderated by growing different varieties with different days to maturity or with smaller succession sowings of each crop. But no matter how much planning, it's not a predictable assembly line, and neither is what you'll get each week if you subscribe to a farm share or CSA like Hello Radishes every week with more kale than I can keep up with. So what to do with whatever produce comes your way? Cookbook author and food writer Alexandra Stafford is here with some tactical advice and also to prepare us for the onslaught of zucchini with creative and delicious recipes. So more in a moment, but first these messages.
Programming and underwriting support from Royal Botanic Gardens, publishers of Kew Pocketbook, Small Gift Books, illustrated from Kew's vast collection of botanical art. The most recent book, Fungi, about the strange and singular world of mushrooms, toadstools, and their kin. In bookstores now. Underwriting support from Color Blends, supplying top-quality spring-blooming Dutch flower bulbs to landscape professionals and ambitious home gardeners. More information on the web, colorblends.com.
Ali Stafford creates the Alexandra's Kitchen website and companion e-newsletter from alexandracooks.com and a whole extra free weekly seasonal email too called the Farm Share Newsletter that's giving me more ideas each week for what to do with what the garden, the CSA, and the local farm stand have to offer. She's the author of the hit book Bread, Toast, Crumbs, and I'm so glad she's back today, just in time as the produce really starts flowing fast. Hi, Ali.
Hi, Margaret. How are you?
Okay. So boy, you stay busy. You've got the 2 newsletters now. The Farm Share one is so fun.
The Farm Share one is so fun. This has been a passion, honestly, basically since I first joined a CSA, which was now, I think it's about 16 years ago. But I remember when I first got it thinking it was so much fun. I so enjoyed the experience. But I was also like, what do I do with all of these radishes? What is a kohlrabi? And like, how do I, you know, make meals out of all of these greens?
Right.
And so over the years, I mean, just it's like with anything, you kind of develop strategies, but I really find it fun. I find the weekly challenge of how to make the most of what you get just fun. And it's kind of like a puzzle, and it feels so good when you use everything, you know, or give it away, you know.
Right. I should say, we'll have a book giveaway. I'm going to buy a copy of Bread, Toast, Crumbs. We'll have a book giveaway for commenters with the transcript of this show over on awaytogarden.com. And we'll also give the links for how people can get both your regular email, which I wouldn't be without, and I've shared with so many people over the years from alexandracooks.com, but also this Farm Share newsletter that you have on Substack. So we'll give them all the info on where to get those things and a chance to enter the book giveaway. So, and like, I don't know how you do it, but those videos, like you have 412,000 Instagram followers. How the heck did that happen? Isn't it funny? And it's your videos. I think it's the videos that did it.
I mean, Instagram is a mystery. I never know what people are going to like and what people aren't going to like, but I enjoy doing, especially the recipes that sort of show how to make, you know, vegetable focused meals. I'm not a vegetarian, but you know, recipes that use a lot of produce, especially the seasonal produce, and recipes that are mostly simple. You know, people don't want to spend, especially in the summer, too much time at the stovetop or with the oven on. So anything that's sort of quick, but fresh and uses, you know, the produce that you have is what, I don't know, what brings me joy.
Yeah. So let's just, like I spoke about a little bit in the intro, what's the challenge at this time of year, whether it's your garden that's not producing on a predictable schedule, yeah, or it's your CSA arriving with all those damn radishes.
Right.
So what's the sort of, where are we? What's the challenge we're facing?
Right. I mean, and you said that you touched on a few of the things, but it's, I feel like the 3 sort of issues that Farm Share subscribers or CSA subscribers or, you know, gardeners face is you get a lot of produce all at once. So you have the issue of storing it. You also get a lot of one vegetable at once, or you get not enough of another. Like often I'll just get like a tiny head of broccoli or a small bundle of turnips, or you get an odd vegetable that people are like, what do I do with this? And then I think the last challenge is that you don't have the variety that you do if you are shopping at a farmer's market or the grocery store. You kind of, you get what you get and you have to be creative, and it's hard because you get these waves of produce where you get like tons of greens or tons of radishes. So you're sort of faced with the same produce over and over again. So you have to be creative or you'll just get really bored and you won't want to deal with your, you know, the contents. So I'd say those are the issues.
Yeah. And I think it's on your website that you have sort of a tactical, like a sort of foundational post story that tells us sort of how to cope with that, like some three basic principles, I think, of how to cope.
Sure. Yes. And that's over on the Substack.
It's on the newsletter. Okay. Sorry. I was trying to visualize where it was because I get both of your things. You know what I mean?
No, it's over on Substack. So it's, the three principles I follow are: proper storage is half the battle, a simple plan will set you free, and preserve what you can, give away what you can't.
Yeah.
And yeah, I just find that as soon as you get your farm share vegetables home, you have to prep them for storage. Otherwise, otherwise, you know, it will go to waste. So you have to snip rubber bands. You have to trim the greens from all of the beets, the turnips, the radishes. If you don't, the roots, they go soft. And you probably know better about that why, but I think it's just that the greens take away energy from the root.
Well, and also just the greens, which sometimes can be used or often can be used, you know, they get nasty too, just sort of flopping around, you know, unprotected in the fridge and connected to the bulb. So yeah, it's good both ways.
Right. So, and then I've been storing my basil and my parsley at room temperature in just little glasses of water. That seems to be the best way to preserve those herbs, all those greens that you're talking about, the beets, the turnips, the carrots, onion greens, they can all be pooled together. And I have a few recipes that I use that will take care of using all of those greens at once. Yeah. And then just making sure that those, I would say the lettuces are protected in the fridge. I'll wrap them in like cloth bags or produce bags and stick them in the storage bin and make sure that the fridge is not too cold. That's the first step, is storing the produce properly. Then I always try to make a simple plan. And this is not like I just sketch it out on a little piece of paper. It does not have to be comprehensive. And it's just to kind of help you see when you have those, like those tender lettuces, like arugula will, you know, in 2 days it will shrivel and it will be, you know, inedible. I find green beans, the snap peas and the snow peas are those sort of more delicate produce items. So you want to use those earlier in the week, whereas the head of cabbage that'll last for weeks in the fridge.
Right.
And, you know, so use those later on in the week. So I always make just a rough meal plan, and it helps me also supplement when I am shopping at the grocery store. You know, as I said earlier, if I have just a tiny head of broccoli and I want to make a more substantial broccoli dish, I'll go buy a couple more heads of broccoli, and just, you know, use them together.
We should tell people that the reason she's saying that is because she has 6 mouths to feed at home, not just herself. She does not live alone. She has 4 children and a husband. So that's why you might need 3 heads of broccoli.
And they love broccoli is one vegetable that I can kind of consistently rely on. So I am often supplementing with broccoli at the store. And then the last thing I would say is preserve what you can and give away what you can't. So even today, on Tuesday when I picked up my farm share, I left the head of cabbage in the bin because I already have a head of cabbage at home and we're going away. So I know I'm not going to use it. There's a lot of times at these sites, there are bins that you can leave things that you don't think you're going to use, or you know that week is going to be busy. Yeah. Or give it away to neighbors. And then in terms of preserving, you don't have to be, you know, a really experienced canner. Like I rarely process things in water baths and am storing for the winter, but I will make herb sauces and pestos, and I will freeze those in little cubes, or even just, I'll make little quick pickles for the refrigerator. They're just great for snacking on. And they also will keep in the fridge for, you know, a really, really long time. I'm not sure I've ever thrown away a thing of pickles, and I've really never processed it properly. So there are things you can do to preserve, even just for, you know, in the short term,
that
don't require, you know, a lot of effort.
So what we'll do is we'll give like just some of the sort of quick pickle recipes and some of these other ideas. We'll give some links with the transcript. And then let's talk about the one that's coming at us before long, or maybe already has started, the sort of summer squash thing, because that's one where it really is like, oh my goodness, those things, you know, you can have so many, and you have so many good ideas of what to do with them. And yet a lot of us just like let them sit there, and it's a shame, or we leave them on the vine if we're growing them, and they get to be like dirigibles, you know, they get to be like the Goodyear blimp or something. And that's no good either. So
it is actually so astounding. Every year, somebody, I will get like a zucchini baseball bat. It is amazing to me how big that they can grow and so quickly.
Yeah. I think you bought a tool a number of years ago for dealing with zucchini. Like you sort of indulged yourself, and that sort of fascinated me. It's almost like that spiralizer thing that I remember used to be advertised.
Yeah, I bought one so many years ago. It's Ben Reiner. Ben Reiner is the name of the mandolin that I have. And I bought this turning slicer. It's a Japanese turning slicer. And this one looks ancient compared to the new ones out there that are like way more high tech and honestly probably better than the one I have. But it does the same job. It just, you know, it's a little bit safer than using a mandolin. And you just, you know, fit the zucchini in and you turn this handle and it will give you these nice long spirals. And it's really actually, I think, great to have. I mean, I know there's a whole, you know, movement of people who like to spiralize vegetables and, but it's just for zucchini, it's just very practical because if you have the zucchini in those very thin strands, you can make very quick meals. One of my favorites to do with a very thinly sliced zucchini is to just toss it with cooked spaghetti, add a lot of parsley and lemon zest, some of the pasta cooking water. I saute some garlics and shallots and add some pepper flakes too, but it's a very simple dish. You don't really cook the zucchini. It cooks by dumping the pasta water over it in the colander and that's it. And it goes back in the skillet for a minute, but it's really just the heat of the hot spaghetti cooks the zucchini. So that's a favorite one.
Don't forget the Parmesan though. We have to put some Parmesan on, right? Because I like my cheese.
Yes. No. Oh my gosh. Yes. No.
I think you have a video of that one too, which maybe we'll show. So that's good. Again, with the transcript, we'll get all this, you know, the visual inspiration. But so basically that's just once you've prepped the zucchini and it's just like making a bowl of pasta with some very simple ingredients and boom, you add this one extra ingredient in and it really makes it more of a meal.
Yes, no, definitely. And that's one that is really pretty quick. Like in the time it takes for the pasta to boil, maybe not quite, maybe a little bit more prep, but you're just, you know, it's very simple saute, garlic, shallots. Then once the zucchini is cooked, it's really, it comes together zucchini is cut. It comes together very quickly.
Yeah. Yeah. Once the zucchini is right, cut from that crazy, your Ben Reiner turning slicer, AKA spiralizer. Yeah, no, with certain vegetables like that, it's really, that's a tool that it's great to have as opposed to trying to cut ribbons. I don't know. I'm not so good at like cutting long things like that into perfect, little pieces. So anyway, so that's one. And
that's one. Another favorite one for, I feel like, especially just this early season zucchini, when it's really just like small and very tender, is again, cut it raw, and you can just use a knife and just cut it into little thin coins, or you can use a mandolin and cut it and even more finely, but then just to toss it with salt, olive oil, lemon, Parmesan, pepper, and that's it. And I think some people think it's a revelation, and it was for me when I didn't know that you could eat zucchini raw or summer squash raw. And when it's sliced thinly and salted and with olive oil and lemon, it's delicious. It's so good. So that's a favorite for this time of year.
And when you say the coins, like that's when you're cutting across the fruit, you know. But could I also use, if I had a mandolin, could I I make like ribbons or something?
Yes, absolutely. And you could also use a vegetable peeler probably and just cut it into, I do that with
carrots.
Yeah. And I did also buy this other tool. I can't resist. Gadgets. I know. It's a julienne peeler. So it, and I actually haven't tried it on zucchini, but it worked well on carrots. And as long as they're kind of a nice size, but it cuts the, it's a peeler that will cut into, instead of ribbons, it will cut it into those nice little julienne, slivers, which is nice. It's kind of fun.
Oh, julienne peeler. I do not know this.
Yeah.
Oh, this is interesting. Huh? Well, and that's part of it, right? Is to find a way where a pile of zucchini isn't so daunting, but it's something we can incorporate into a variety of meals that week, as opposed to let them either get really giant on the vine or go to waste if we got them from the CSA. You know what I mean? It's
right.
Yeah. Yeah. So.
Yeah. So more, I mean, I have a few other favorites. I'll always make fritters at some point, which is just kind of shredding on a box grater, salting it. Zucchini, with some recipes, you do want to salt it to draw out the moisture because they are filled with a lot of water. And then mixing with just typical, with flour and egg. You can add herbs, scallions, and then making little patties and frying them. And those are just kind of like a nice snack or a good appetizer and like delicious with like a yogurt sauce, like a tzatziki, or even just like Greek yogurt mixed with some lemon salt.
Now, you said you salt. So I shred it on a box grater and then I put some salt. I have it in a bowl and I put some salt on it. What happens exactly? Do I have to drain it then, or what do I do?
So I will spread it. I have a fine mesh colander or strainer that I spread it out in, and I sprinkle the salt in, and then I'll let it sit for maybe 10 minutes. And then I'll just go with my hands and toss it and kind of squeeze and push it against the mesh of the strainer to push out. You can also then transfer it to a tea towel and, you know, really squeeze and wring it out if you want to get out all the liquid. Sometimes I do that. Sometimes I don't.
Okay. All right. But I was just curious. Okay. Yeah. So fritters, that sounds really good. I love potato pancakes. So that sort of reminds me of that type of an item.
Yes. That's a great one. I love making involtini, which is typically made with eggplant, like thinly sliced eggplant. And I think the proper way with eggplant is to kind of fry the eggplant first, and then you fill it with a ricotta filling and some lemon zest, or you can season it however you want. And then you roll them up into these little coils, and then you bake them on a bed of tomato sauce all together. And it's really delicious. But I discovered you could do the same thing with zucchini or the yellow summer squash, by same thing, cutting the zucchini or summer squash thinly, roasting it. Just you've got to be a little bit careful. If you roast it too much, it gets crisp and brittle. And so you've just got to kind of keep an eye. You really just want to roast them until they're pliable. And then you fill them with your ricotta filling, roll them up, put them in a baking dish with tomato sauce, bake it, shave Parmesan over top before serving. And that's a really nice one.
And we will get, like we're saying, we're kind of giving these ideas, but we will with the transcript, we're going to give not just photos, but like the links to the exact recipe and our video with all the steps made really simple.
Yes.
So involtini, see, that's not a word that I normally hear. It's not something that we talk about all the time. You know, it's not like taco. It's not like taco, your other favorite thing.
So that's a great one. Of course, there's zucchini bread. I mean, that's a great one to use up, a lot of zucchini, and it's so good. I'm always amazed my kids love zucchini bread, and there is I don't want to pretend that it's healthy. There's a fair amount of sugar in it, but it's still just a nice way to use it when you're ready to turn on your oven. Again, I know it's very hot in many parts of the country right now, but
what else is in yours though? So there's like egg and flour and sugar and zucchini. And are there spices or?
Some spices. I think just a little bit of cinnamon. Mine is an oil based cake. So it's not, no butter, which I love. I tend to be drawn to oil based quick breads and cakes. They're much moister. Some people prefer that, like butter will make actually like a lighter textured cake, but I love an oil based cake. And my recipe, and I don't even know where I got it from originally. I mean, I got it from my mom and I don't know where she got it from, but you grate the zucchini and then you toss it with the flour And so I think that helps coating all the strands with the flour, I think, is maybe part of the reason why it turns out well. I'm not sure.
Oh,
why.
Interesting. Oh, so that's interesting, because, you know, you wouldn't think wet and dry ingredients, you know, you wouldn't necessarily think that that's when you combine them, but that's interesting.
Yeah. Huh. Yeah, so that's good. And that one, zucchini bread freezes really well too. So that's a nice one to make if you want to freeze and, you know, again, preserve for the weeks or ahead.
I'll confess, one of the things during this pandemic era that we've been in for who knows how long now, you know, we all wanted to have treats and we wanted to not have to go to the store all the time and whatever. And a local person here makes banana bread and, you know, and it's sold in one of the little markets nearby. And I did that similar to the zucchini bread. And it's also has, it, you know, has a bit of a dense texture, but it's very moist and it freezes really well. And so even living alone, even having, you know, this thing that's in there for weeks, but I take a piece off every now and again. So that's another way to sort of preserve the harvest, so to speak, is you could make six zucchini breads and you could, what would you wrap them in for the freezer? What would you put like wax paper or some kind of,
Yeah, I would. I would do something, wax paper. You could do foil if you're opposed to doing like a saran wrap. You could do foil and then tuck them into an airtight container or an airtight bag. This recipe also, and I'm realizing I use brown sugar. I use a combination of brown sugar and white sugar, but I feel like the brown sugar does also always kind of lend like a nice flavor and moistness. You can make these into muffins too, which is nice, especially if you want to freeze, because then they're kind of already in these portable sizes.
Okay. Oh, good. All right. So we have lots and lots and lots and lots and lots of other, I know we have like a pizza and, you know, tortilla casserole and stuff, roasted pepper stuff with zucchinis, all kinds of great ideas that you have. We'll give all the recipes, but I want to ask about some flour so that we don't run out of time. We have maybe, you know, 4 or 5 minutes left.
Yeah.
Because I've never used flours. I just let them do their thing, you know, and it's so funny because there's such, when I go to a restaurant that has that, that's what one of the things I want to have seasonally is the, whatever their blossom recipe is, sometime with a little chev in it or something like that. So
yes, I know, if I see squash blossoms on a menu, I can't resist. But yeah, you can stuff them with goat cheese or with a ricotta, you know, often seasoned with herbs or maybe some lemon zest, and then batter them, you know, lightly batter them. You can use like a tempura batter. And then you can deep fry them or even just kind of shallow fry them in a skillet. Uh-huh. And they are, I mean, like irresistible. I think they're so delicious. But
what kind of oil would you use if you were to shallow fry them? Or
I use grapeseed oil or some sort of neutral oil. But though I hear from so many people that olive oil can actually use olive oil to deep fry. I mean, people, there are differing opinions on that, but, that it's, I think you ideally want to use something with a lower smoke point. And I think grapeseed oil just has a nice neutral flavor. So that's often what I use.
Thank
for something
you.
Like that. Yeah. But if that feels like too much work, and I totally get that, you can just, I saw on Samin Nosrat's Instagram, and it's her most recent post and we can link to it, but she made these quesadillas and they look so delicious. I haven't tried it yet. I'm going to botch the name, but I think she uses Oaxaca cheese, I think. Uh-huh. And she puts that in the skillet first, then tops it with the squash blossoms, tops it with some sauteed zucchini, and then just puts a tortilla on one side. And then once the cheese is kind of melty and crispy, kind of like that frico like texture, she flips it and then lets the tortilla get a little crisp on the other side. So there's just these sort of open face quesadillas with the squash. Oh. Yeah, they look really, really delicious. You can also just, I love them on pizza. Just I'll put raw zucchini, maybe spread some, I love creme fraiche on pizza dough. Just spread that on the bottom of the pizza dough, top with raw shaved zucchini. And sometimes I'll salt zucchini before pizza again to draw out some of the moisture so it doesn't make the pizza dough soggy. And then just top with the squash blossoms. And you put on a heap of squash blossoms, way more than you think, because they really shrink. And just drizzle with olive oil, salt, maybe a little garlic and crushed red pepper flakes, and bake it. And it's so that's a really delicious combination.
Oh, and they just kind of collapse and become this wonderful topping. Yeah. Huh. Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting. So in the last minute, I want to know, because you've told me about it or I've seen you shout it out somewhere, Zucchini fries? What?
Yes. And that's actually a recipe from my cookbook. And this woman, her website is called Marlena's Kitchen. She's Greek. She does mostly Greek cooking, but she made the recipe. So that's on her blog. So we can link to that. But yeah, you just cut the zucchini into, you know, fry shape sticks, and you bread, you know, this is from the crumbs chapter of the book. So it's a breadcrumb coating, but you bake. Okay. So it's not.
And
there's Parmesan, and they get nice and crisp, but it's not like you're deep frying them or anything.
Okay. All right. Well, Alexandra Stafford, or Ali as we know and love her, from alexandracooks.com. We're going to have a book giveaway, as I said, with the transcript. We're out of time, but I'm so happy to have these ideas because, again, I know the glut is coming.
I know. No, it doesn't stop. It really doesn't stop.
I'm definitely going to do some zucchini breads or muffins for the freezer. That's a great idea for the winter. That would be a great thing to have, you know, for like fall into winter even.
It feels like such a treat when you have
that. Yeah. Well, thank you for making time today. Now go make another video.
Thank you so much, Margaret.
Talk to you soon.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Underwriting support from Color Blends, supplying top quality spring blooming Dutch flower bulbs to landscape professionals and ambitious home gardeners. More information on the web, colorblends.com. Programming and underwriting support from Royal Botanic Gardens, publishers of Kew Pocketbook, Small Gift Books Illustrated from Kew's vast collection of botanical art. The most recent book, Fungi, about the strange and singular world of mushrooms, toadstools, and their kin. In bookstores now.
And I'll talk to all the rest of you soon again, too. Now, don't miss an episode. You can subscribe free to the podcast version of the show on Apple Podcasts or Stitcher or Spotify. And you can find me anytime at awaytogarden.com or on Facebook and on Instagram as @awaytogarden. And happy gardening and cooking meantime.
A Way to Garden with Margaret Roach is a joint production of awaytogarden.com and the smallest NPR station in the nation, Robin Hood Radio.